From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama has just signed into law an updated version of the Violence Against Women Act. The measure will expand federal programs for women affected by domestic and sexual violence.
We'll expand them to cover even more women. Because this is a country where everybody should be able to pursue their own measure of happiness and live their lives free from fear, no matter who you are, no matter who you love. That's got to be our priority. That's what today's about.
The law adds protections for Native American, gay, bisexual, and transgender victims of abuse. The United Nations Security Council has unanimously approved new sanctions against North Korea over its recent nuclear test. The communist nation has pledged to launch what it calls a preemptive nuclear strike against the U.S. and other aggressors. That threat was quickly dismissed by the White House. The U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Susan Rice, says the new sanctions will be felt.
The strength, breadth, and severity of these sanctions will raise the cost to North Korea of its illicit nuclear program.
The UN resolution was drafted by the U.S. and China, which has long been North Korea's main ally. The U.S. trade deficit has widened, growing by almost 17% in January. NPR's Dave Mattingly reports analysts say the reasons include more imports of foreign oil and a drop in exports.
With exports dropping more than 1%, the U.S. trade deficit rose to more than $44 billion. Sales to companies in Europe and Asia were down. Scott Brown is chief economist at Raymond James & Associates.
You're looking at a severe recession still in Europe, no growth there at all. China is really sort of the tail on the dog. They're still very much export driven, and if Europe is in a recession, that's not going to help them at all.
Analysts believe the trade numbers will improve this year as U.S. energy exports go up. Dave Mattingly, NPR News, Washington.
The government of the Philippines says it's negotiating to win the release of 21 Filipino UN peacekeepers who've been seized by Syrian militants. NPR's Kelly McKever has details.
The peacekeepers were abducted in the Golan Heights, territory that Israel seized from Syria in 1967. UN peacekeepers have been stationed there since 1974. The UN says the peacekeepers were unarmed at the time of their abduction and were going to check an observation post near the Syrian border. There's been heavy fighting between Syrian rebels and Syrian government forces near that post in recent days. At first, the militants said they would not release the peacekeepers until the Syrian army retreated. Now they say they're merely protecting the peacekeepers from the Syrian army and are willing to turn them back to the UN. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Beirut.
With an hour to go before the closing bell on Wall Street, the Dow is up 36 points. The Nasdaq is up 8. This is NPR News. Two GOP senators say the filibuster by their Republican colleague Rand Paul yesterday unnecessarily created fear among Americans. Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham criticized Paul, who said he was seeking assurances the U.S. would not stage drone attacks on U.S. soil against Americans suspected of terrorism. A federal court has struck down an Idaho law that bans abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. NPR's Martin Kosky reports the ruling comes as more states adopt similar restrictions.
Idaho is one of several states in the last few years to pass what's called fetal pain laws, laws based on the belief that fetuses can feel pain early in a pregnancy. In the interest of protecting fetuses, the Idaho law moved the cutoff for legal abortion earlier than what's allowed under Roe v. Wade. U.S. District Judge B. Lynn Windmill has ruled that the Idaho legislature passed the law with, quote, improper purpose, putting its interest in the potential life of the fetus ahead of a woman's right to get an abortion. The judge also overturned other state restrictions that had the effect of making drug-induced abortions illegal. Martin Kosty, NPR News, Seattle.
The last of the 115 Roman Catholic cardinals who will choose the next pope has arrived in Rome, but Vatican spokesman Thomas Rosica is denying rumors that a date has been set for the start of the election process.
There is no date for the conclave established, nor is there a mass for the election of the Roman pontiff reserved or already booked for St. Peter's Basilica on Monday afternoon, contrary to what you may have seen.
I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.